If we take as a pair, as we must, today's first reading from the book of Isaiah and the second reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, we almost literally have a contrast between what happens in heaven and what happens on earth. And the mystery, of course, of this set of readings is that these belong together. Heaven and earth are not separate, but are one reality. The gospel I just read gives us a scene from ordinary life. It is not a time of crisis. It is not a wedding feast. It is the daily drudgery of everyday life. These are the poorest of the workers. They are not hired long term. They don't live on the master's property. They have zero security. As we would say today, no health care, no backup, nothing. And every morning, being the poorest of the poor, they come out and they stand there hoping that somebody will hire them so that they can receive the daily wage to have the daily bread for themselves and their family. Every day they come out and do the same thing, and every day they risk going hungry and thirsty if no one hires them. This is really typical, you might say, of the situation of the majority of the human race. People live in situations on the edge, managing to survive, managing to hold on, living out with some good health, with some housing, with some job, enough to get themselves and their family through from day to day. And then something goes wrong, something big like a hurricane, or an earthquake, or something small on the larger scale, a personal illness, an accident, a tragedy, or a change in the business world, we're not hiring in the vineyard anymore, go away. People live fragile lives on the edge. So this gospel gives us a scene that we might imagine 1,000 times over of the world in which we live. But before finishing off what we have to say about the gospel, we really should back up and look at the first reading from Isaiah, because it is, as it were, it moves up to the realm of heaven. There is this Lord, the Lord of heaven and earth, whose ways are not our ways, who does not think as we think, who does not act as we act, who is a great mystery to us. And when we first hear this, we might imagine that all those people on the face of the earth who are suffering and struggling from day to day, including ourselves, God is very, 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 very far away. Almost imaginably far from this earth on which we live. There is a great mystery of God. God is not like us. God is unimaginable. God is God's own self. Just beyond the reading as we have it today, the next few verses of Isaiah 55 tell us how is it that God is different from us. It's not because God doesn't care. It's not because God looks the other way and ignores the suffering of the human race. But a very simple example is given. God says to the people, I want you to come to me. I want you to understand my mystery. Why? Because my word will not ever be unfulfilled. My intentions will always come true. He gives an example, like the sun, like the snow and the rain that come down on the earth and make it possible for the crops to grow. My word is like that. I will not stop, I will not rest until there is life upon the earth, until everyone flourishes. Now, this obviously is not perhaps what we expected at the start. The mystery of God is not that God is simply far away, not that God doesn't care about us, but that God is the one who will never give up as long as anyone on the face of the earth is hungry or thirsty or homeless or unloved or uncared for. God, just as the rain and the snow come down and make things grow, God's word will come down to earth again and again to assure that we live and that we grow from day to day. Back to the gospel. It's as if Jesus, standing there, and talking about the master of the vineyard and those poor, poor workers who come in day after day hoping to get enough bread for the day. As if this is acting out the great mystery of God in the prophet Isaiah. The master there in the vineyard, he is looking after the vineyard. He is caring about his vineyard. He is caring about the process of making sure that the grapes grow. But probably more than he needs to, he keeps going out into the marketplace to see if there is anyone else waiting for a job. He probably could have hired all he needed first thing in the morning. But I think he goes out at noon, at 9 a.m., at noon, at 3 p.m., at 5 p.m., basically to say, is there anyone at risk who is not going to get their daily bread? Is there anyone who is on the edge of desperation? They came here ready to work hard all day long and see, no one has hired us one more hungry night. And so the mystery of this landowner, the vineyard owner, is that he is like God and the prophet Isaiah. My determination is that the people will be cared for, the people will be fed, and no one will go hungry. So this is very good news. And I think it may be hard for us at times in our own lives, even when things are going well, to really believe it's the case. God does not come to us as a judge. God does not come to us to make our lives difficult. God does not come to us and say, well, only if you measure up to this standard will you ever get to be happy. But God comes down from heaven again and again, like the rain and the snow, like the cycles of life, because God is saying to us, my mystery is that I love you beyond all bounds. I care for you exactly as you are. There are many things that can be done to improve your life, I'm sure, he says. But I want you to flourish. I want you to be fed. I want you to be cared for. I want you to know that you have a community. And I think we are the ones who make it complicated by saying, there's a trick there. It must be harder than it sounds. It must be hard for us to make it so simple. And therefore, we back up and say, we've got to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And here are 10 reasons in my life why I'm not a good Catholic yet. And here are 10 things wrong with me or my family or my world that make it impossible for us to be happy. And God keeps saying to us, it doesn't matter. In the long run, I will not give up until you find your way, find meaning in your life, and learn to be happy. I am here to give you life. So the real point, obviously, of the gospel then is the very end. This incredible generosity of the master of the vineyard. If you start working in the morning, I give you your daily bread. If you start at 9 or 12 or 3, I give you your daily bread. And if you come in at the last minute, if you're at the edge of despair and thought, I'll go to bed hungry tonight, and you come in for the final hour, I will give you your daily bread. And this is wonderful, except the poor people, and we can feel sorry for them, who were there in the vineyard all day long, step back and say, it's not fair. Why should those people who came in at the end of the day, why should they get what we got because we worked hard? We did everything we needed to do right from the beginning, right to the end, and they didn't. So why shouldn't you give them less than they desire? Less than they need. Let them go to bed not hungry, but half hungry. Let them have a shirt, but not a warm enough shirt for the cold night. Let them have a roof, but let it be a leaky roof, because they didn't deserve it the way we deserved it. And I think the master says, what? What's wrong with you? If I am generous, if I care for the people, if I give what is mine to make sure that everybody is taken care of, why are you begrudging it? Why are you jealous? Why are you holding back? And this, perhaps for you and me, is the final challenge. Not only to believe that God's mystery is overflowing love for all of us all the time, but to not reduce it to the way we normally look at things, where we're competing with one another, where we're jostling for our place in line, where we may think ourselves blessed and better
because we're the ones who still come to church. We may think of all those people we read about in the media and say, what a hopeless lot. Aren't we lucky to be here? God can't possibly care for them the way God cares for us. To somehow break through that and realize the mystery of being a Christian is to see the world the way God does. To see that, like the rain that comes down or the sun that shines, God's love is unlimited, absolute, complete, perfect. And that all we have to do, myself and you, the most worthy people in the church, the least worthy people in the world, is open ourselves and let God's love flow in. And that no longer should we judge one another as good, bad, indifferent, but rather to say what we have in common is the mystery of God, that God loves us without end, we are the children of God, and no one shall go to bed hungry tonight. May that mystery come true. May our love overflow too as we care for one another.